What's going on, my beautiful people? It's Thursday. You know what that means. Another great day here inside the Black Actors Studio. And joining us today is an incredible, talented actor and comedian. You know him very well from Martin as Bruh Man from The Fifth Floor. So don't stay away.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Happy Thursday. I'm your boy, Danny Royce, inside the Black Actors Studio. Our guest today, I'm extremely excited, been a longtime fan. You know him from Martin as Bruh Man from The Fifth Floor. We've also seen him on Sister Sister, The Parkers, ER, and Bernie Mac Show, and many more. Also doing stand-up comedy here in L.A. The one, the only, Black Actors Studio is very proud to welcome Reggie Baller. What's good?
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. All right, man. Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. It was a little rainy earlier, but now the sun is shining.
Yeah, man. Nice. I know. I think it got in my car. I think my window was... My wife was mad at me. I think she probably put my window down. She parked in the garage. I got to park on the street. I got a little wet, man. My butt a little wet. I'm sitting up.
That's all right. Well, it's a little warm. It'll dry it off. Well, thank you again for joining us. It's great to have you here in the studio. And so you're doing some stand-up right now, right? And
yeah, man, I've been doing the stand-up ever since the Martin thing, right, man. I mean, you know, I've been doing it now for, what, since, what, 96 maybe?
Wow.
Yeah, that's dope. I tell everybody I'm an actor acting like a comic.
Nice.
I can act and make you laugh about 45 to an hour. After that, you better come get me.
There you go. Well, we'll get to Martin and a couple of your other credits in a little bit, but I like to start off every interview with the beginning. Mm-hmm. Where you from?
Galveston, Texas, man.
Hey.
This is a little small island, man, about 40 miles south of Houston.
Okay.
And 40 miles wide. I'm 14 miles wide and 9 miles long, or either the other way around.
I heard it takes like 23, 24 hours just to drive across Texas, doesn't it?
Oh,
something,
man,
like
it
that.
Take all
That's
day.
Crazy.
It did, like, once you, like, from here to, we used to drive home every year for Christmas. And from here to El Paso is like 13 hours. Mm. You're in Texas. But from El Paso to Galveston, you're looking at another 16 hours. You done went through Arizona, New Mexico, California. Yeah, Texas is big, man. It's a big state.
Big state.
Second largest state, man.
Wow. So how was growing up with you? What is your... How was your household and dynamics in your household?
Hey, man, my father left when I was 6.
Mm.
And my mother, you know, she that's the backbone of the family, her and my grandmother, man. Mm. And we all, me, my sister, my mother, my uncles, aunts, cousins, all live with my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
You know, so big house. And every,
full house.
Every day we had 3 squares, man. Mm-hmm. We ate every day. And Sundays, when I seen the movie Soul Food,
mm-hmm,
I thought that was like everybody. You know, I thought that's how it was. Because every Sunday, my grandmother did that, man.
Right.
She cooked that big dinner with the cakes and the pies and all that. Every Sunday, like Christmas, every Sunday.
That's dope.
So we had a good, I had a real nice childhood, man. Every Friday and Saturday, man, we always partied and played music. They played blues all the time and you know, R&B. Every Friday, I used to live for Fridays and Saturdays at my house, man. Everybody came to Miss Mary's house, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Miss Mary was your grandma.
That was my grandma. Everybody came.
Did you ever have a relationship with your father after that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I came out to California when I was 23,
okay,
and that's when I seen him again.
Oh, okay.
And, I just talked to him the other day, man. We talk every now and then, you know.
Nice.
I asked him to paint my house one time, right? And we were driving down the street, and he said the most funniest thing to me ever, man. He said, "Hey, man, call me daddy." Man, I started I stopped the car, man, and couldn't stop laughing, man. Because
wow.
I'm like, dude, I ain't never called nobody daddy before, man.
You're like, what is that?
Yeah, where'd that come from? He said, "You don't call me nothing. You just call me, hey, you." I said, "No, I didn't." I said, "I ain't never been in a situation too car. You never been across the room for me to say something, you know what I mean? So if I did, I say, yo, what's up, man? Hey, man, you know, like that. You
right.
know? Now I'm kind of starting in, you know, into like pop and everything.
Okay.
It's kind of, yeah, it's you know, it's mending, man.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's good. Did you have any nicknames growing up?
Nah, man, it's called me Reggie.
Reggie.
You know, Reggie. Yeah.
Reggie on the block.
Reg,
no.
That's it, man. My mother, Reginald, and my wife, Reginald.
Got you.
But
okay.
Everybody else just called me Reginald, man. Reggie.
Reggie. Got it. So you had siblings, right?
I had a sister.
You had a sister.
Yeah. She passed in 07.
Okay.
She had breast cancer, 38 years old. That was my only sibling.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry about your passing. Yeah. How was schooling for you? When did you feel like, oh, I can make people laugh?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. School for me was difficult, man. I mean, I made my first F in my junior year in high school from the kindergarten all the way up. But, you know, I really enjoyed going there because I was an athlete, man. I was like a blue chip athlete. I mean, college coaches used to stake outside my house, you know, at night, you know, because they was trying to make sure other coaches wasn't getting the upper hand on recruiting me.
Right.
And, but, you know, as a kid in my house, so, man, let me tell you something. I was the biggest Bruce Lee fan ever, and that's what made me want to be an actor.
Really?
Bruce Lee.
Wow.
My first Bruce Lee movie. I mean, when HBO first came out, my mother came home one night. She said, she looked at the TV guy. I said, oh, this movie called Return of the Dragon coming on. You ought to watch it. I've seen it before. I say, okay, I watched that movie. After that, man, I was hooked.
That's
I was
dope.
A Bruce Lee fiend, man.
Wow. And my brother's a huge Bruce Lee fan.
Is that right?
Yeah, he had.
That's me.
Bruce Lee is, I mean, not only was he an incredible actor and martial arts expert, but just a way of life.
Yeah, like, man. Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I grew up, you know, because of him and black exploitation movies like, you know, Fred Williamson, Jim Kelly, Jim Brown, Richard Roundtree. That I looked up them. I looked up to them as my father. You know, because, you know, watching those movies, man. I mean, it was such a positive message with the movies, Shaft, and you know, all those type movies, man. I never drank alcohol in my life, never smoked in my life, never done drugs in my life, because I looked up to those dudes.
That's crazy.
I don't know what they do, but in the movies,
right? In the movies, outside the movies.
Yeah.
Well, you met one of your childhood like role models, Shaft, right?
Oh man,
you post on your Instagram. How was that experience?
Man, let me tell you something. I did a show not too long ago called Family Reunion. It's coming out on Netflix with Richard Roundtree and Loretta Devine.
Nice.
And, man, let me tell you, that was like a dream come true. I wore my Shaft shirt to the set, man. I took a picture with him with the Shaft shirt, man. I was like, yo, man, sign my shirt. He said, well, I said, right here. He said, man, I ain't signing your titty. I had to catch myself, man. Like, I was a little groupie, man.
That's dope. And Loretta Devine, I love her.
Oh, like, yeah, oh, man. Homegirl, man. She from Houston, man.
Crazy. Oh,
yeah,
from Houston as well.
I just found that out when I worked on the show.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So other than movies, were there any TV shows that you kind of like geared to that you would watch all the time?
I still watch to this day, man. My favorite show of all time is Sanford and Son. I still watch it today. I was watching the other day, man. Yeah. I got the Fire Stick, man. I watch it.
That's hilarious, bro.
That's my show, man.
Wow.
I can watch it. There's no way I'd be flipping the TV. And if I come by San Francisco, I have to watch those.
Genius. It's genius.
Yeah, love it.
I want to get into like when you started, when you moved out here to LA. How was that transition for you and getting into the industry?
Well, this is how I went down, man. When I went to SMU, and you know, we got the death penalty, which is the illegal recruiting violation. We the only team in NCAA history that they took our football program because of illegal recruiting violation. Matter of fact, they have on ESPN a 30 for 30 specials. It's called 30 for 30, and it's Pony Excess. And I was part of that team. So I needed 3 hours to transfer. So I already knew since the fourth grade that I wanted to be an actor, but I never told anybody. I never told my friends, none. So at that time, I needed 3 hours to transfer to another school.
Gotcha.
So I took acting for non-majors. Went in there, man. And SMU is like a predominantly white school.
Right.
So I went in there, and, man, I like excelled. Man, I had to do this monologue, man. And when I did the monologue, you know, man, I was so deep into it, and people started clapping, and that's what brought me out. I was like, whoa, in class, you know. Right. And the teacher was like,
wow.
You know, dope. Right then and there. That's when I got bit. Then I went to University of Missouri uh-huh. and majored in theater, man. I was in, they have a black theater workshop there, man. Clyde Ruffin was the over the black theater workshop. And I did a play called Soldier's Play. You know the movie Soldier Story.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
Soldier's Play, and I played C.J. Memphis. And we did like 8 nights, man, standing ovations. And so I told my friends, I was playing cards over the table, the true story. I say, man, I finna go to Hollywood. I finna go hang with Stallone them. I say, the next time you see me, I'm gonna be on TV. I left, came to Hollywood. The first movie I did was with Stallone. And next time I seen him, I was on TV. That's how it worked out.
Speaking to existence.
That's how it worked out, man. It was
dope.
A trip.
Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah.
Wow. So when you got here, and what was your feeling after you booked that film? You like?
Well, I was an extra on the movie, mm-hmm. but it was with Stallone.
Right. It was
yeah,
with Stallone.
Right. Right.
Sure.
But the first thing I booked was Trials of Rosie O'Neill with Sharon Gless, and I was a bailiff, man, and you know I did that. And man, then I started saying, you know what, you know, I could do this. You know, I can do this, and then. I had to audition for Stephen J. Cannell. Mm. You know, he had his studios in Canada, man. And so I did this scene. And the audition, man, the producers was in the room. When I finished, they started clapping, man. They say, yo. And the guy took me out. He said, hey, man, they never clapped for nobody before. Mm. And I, you know, with Stephen J. Cannell, man, we flying up to Canada to shoot this pilot.
Nice.
And yeah, man. And then that's when I knew that, you know, I had the skills.
Right.
So I've been doing it ever since, man.
Dope.
Ever since like 89.
Since 89, wow.
Yeah.
Did you what was your audition style like? What things did you go and to really get into that role, into that character before your audition?
Well, you know, man, my favorite actor, you know, is Robert De Niro. Mm. I mean, Taxi Driver, if any actor want to be an actor, watch Taxi Driver.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know, Taxi Driver is my junk, man. And so what I do, man, is you know, I prepare to be that character. You know, whatever the character, you know, is, what I think it is, you know, I put me into it and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I have different, you know, outlook on a character. I might go in there and might be real silly or might be, you know, over the top or whatever. But if I believe in that, I can make the people that's in the room believe in it.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's what I do. I just try to make, it's like Bruh Man, man. Bruh Man was over the top, crazy, and, you know, it's like, you know, way over the top. But he believed that it was cool to come in somebody's house. It was all good. You know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't get a joke away. You know, you don't get a joke away, man. And I got that. You know, I look at old stuff like Honeymoon. It's like Jackie Gleason, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he used to be real cool with the belief. You know, he believed in what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, sometimes you see, like, comics, especially a lot of comics, you know, they get a joke away by the expression on their face. They laugh before they even get the joke out, you know. So
that's dope.
I just try to make you believe what I'm doing is real.
Right.
That's it.
And you do a good job.
Oh, thank you.
Were there any, well, you're married now, right? So how long you been married?
I've been 31 years.
31
man.
Years. 31 wow, congratulations. Years. You don't hear that nowadays. Yeah.
I don't know, because she mad now because I didn't get a Mother's Day card. But I took her out to eat, paid $122, but she mad because I didn't get a card. I'm like, come on, man. Next time I'm going to get a card and ain't going to take her out to eat.
There you go. Let's see what happens.
Save me some money. See what happens then.
Or give her a gift card to go out to eat.
Right. Yeah, exactly, man. But 31 years, man. I've been doing this since the 8th grade. Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So in this journey in the entertainment industry, did you find yourself going through any personal battles, any personal demons or challenges?
Now, you know, man, for some reason, being an actor, you have to love rejection.
Yeah.
And I love it. You know, I love going in and competing and trying to get it. But the only thing that ever hurt me, man, it really brought tears to my eyes, is one time I went in audition and I rocked the audition.
Mm-hmm.
They called my agent and told my agent that he's too damn good, so we can't offer him the job.
Wow.
That hurt.
Wow.
That really hurt, because if you say I'm not good enough, I can get better.
Right.
But if somebody tell you too good, how you get worse?
Right.
Man, it hurt. That's the only thing that hurt me in Hollywood.
That
man.
Is crazy.
I one time I auditioned for Danny DeVito. And I was supposed to be walking. The scenes, they walk down this hallway, you know, prison guard.
Uh-huh.
So the room was like this here. So I'm walking, taking little bitty steps. They laughing at me, man.
Little bitty steps.
And it wasn't supposed to be funny.
Right.
You know, and I felt real embarrassed, uh-huh. man. You know, they're like, okay, thank you. Don't call up.
It's like, let's not get him again.
Yeah, exactly. But those are probably the two only things that I could think. You know, then, you know, sometimes you go alone. But, like, my agent died about 3 years ago.
Mm.
And I've been with him for, like, 20 years.
Oh, wow. You know,
so I just got new agents now, man.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they already working for me, man. We have a project now that we waiting for. You know, hopefully we get this. But, they send me out.
That's
I have been with them 2 weeks. They send me out. Both weeks I've been
there
with
you
them.
Go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to talk about that just a moment, too, because it's very important to create that, you know, community, the relationship,
right.
The team, your team, pretty much.
Exactly.
Just give us, like, a couple little nuggets in there for the viewers that are listening, how to nurture your team, a relationship.
Well, you know, man, I don't call them all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I know they're busy.
Right.
So, you know, when they do call me for an audition, I make sure that I be 100% prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm prepared, if they're prepared enough to get me out and get me into that situation,
right.
I want to make sure that I'm prepared enough to, you know, take advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't call them all the time. You know, like my manager, Judy, I don't call her all the time, but I know she's working.
Right.
You know, so we had that understanding, you know, because when she called me, it's like, okay, this is what I got going. Let's do this. Let's do that. So, you know, that's, you know, I just stand back and let them work.
Right.
I'm not one of them dudes that always, hey, what's going on today? You know, why you send me on this? Why you send me on that? Why?
Right.
You know, they like, I sent you. Because you get your feelings hurt. If you're why you send me on that? I did send you on that. They just didn't want you to see you.
Right. It's like, oh.
They want to see you. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. So, you got a lot of credits under your belt. I mean, a lot of people obviously know you for your iconic character as Brumman from the Fifth Floor on Martin. But even Sister, the Parkers,
yeah.
I mean, how was it working with the late Bernie Mac, though?
Man, and, you know, it's funny because, you know, people, you know me for the Martin thing, but
right.
I only did 12 episodes.
Yeah, that
was it, man. And I did like 40 episodes of Bernie, man.
Uh-huh.
Bernie, man, you know, sometimes I get emotional when I talk about Bernie. Well, Bernie was like, dude, let me tell you something, man. When he asked you how you doing, he meant how you doing?
Yes.
He didn't mean what kind of movie deal you have,
mm-hmm.
you know what, you know who's your agent, you know. He was, man. We used to have so much fun. That was the best show, the most fun that I ever had in my life, man. Working in Hollywood,
right?
Because they used to tell us, come to the set. Me and my man Mike Raff, they say come to the set at 10 o'clock. We go to set at 10 o'clock. We get there. And they say, well, we have three more scenes before you guys. We like, what? Okay, can we go play golf? They say, yeah, go play golf and just call us and we'll let you know. We play golf, man. We 9 holes in and they'll call, say, okay, we have one more scene. Start making your way back. We make our way back. We get back to the set. It's lunch. And then we used to sit around the table, man, and we used to shoot the breeze. Me and Bernie and Mike and Lombardo, man, we used to sit around the table, man. It's talking. They say action, then we flip it, man.
Like, nice.
Go into our scene, then after they say cut, we back talking about. It's like we had that kind of camaraderie, man, that we just could just flow into the thing, man.
Right.
You know, but like we had guest stars, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like Sugar Shane Mosley was on there one time.
Yeah.
And Sugar had to play himself. We like, yeah, Sugar, this is you, man. So Sugar's had the line and say, hey, where you guys stand, Mandalay Bay? And he say, hey, where you guys stand, Mandalay Bay? That was throwing us off, man.
It's like, really? You going to say it like that?
Yeah, man. And Mike was like, Mike Rapp was like, hey, Sugar, your man is you. I said, man, you'll get knocked out. You better be shooting along. And Bernie used to bet us. Bernie said, I bet you. Because when he fought Delaharia, you know, and we thought Delaharia beat him, right?
Yeah.
So Bernie said, I bet you I said. I said, man, I bet you won't say it. He said, Sugar, man, you joking, Sugar. Man, Delaharia beat you, man. Wow. The Lord of Egypt, man. Bernie was funny, man.
Bernie, man. Such amazing, man. Talented comedian.
Yeah, man. Man, one of the best.
The world misses him for sure.
Yes, sir.
What was your one of your favorite moments on set with him?
Oh, man. I can't tell you. It's a little private. But we had a guest star on the show, man. Famous. But I ain't gonna say the name.
Okay.
But something happened to her, and I told Bernie about it. It's something that is kind of crazy. And Bernie, man, was laughing so hard. He went out and got on his knees and was laughing, man. And I thought he was going to tell. I said, come on, man, don't go back and tell him. Tell him. Nah, man, that's funny, man. That's funny. And then when Flavor Flav was on that one time.
Oh, my God, man.
Man, Bernie was trying to avoid Flavor, man. Flavor was on the set. Yo, G! Bernie like, oh, he coming. He trying to run around and hide.
It's like, Bernie, it's your show. You can't hide, bro.
Exactly.
And so you've also had a long run on ER as well.
Well, I did one episode.
You did one episode.
Yeah, one episode. But I did like 3 episodes of The Parker. Like 4 or 5 episodes of Caroline in the City.
Mm-hmm.
And that show True Colors, I did like 5 episodes of that. So a lot of stuff that they brought me on, man. They always bring me back.
That's dope.
Yeah, they always bring me back. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a very good sign. Yeah. What drew you I want to ask you, is there anything that you do on set particularly that gets you prepared for when they say action?
No, man. I like I said, I just be prepared, man. I heard that from Jackie Gleason, man. He said, you know, a lot of cats be in the corner doing this and doing that and prepping. You say, man, if you ready, you ready.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's true.
I mean, you ready. You got to be ready before you ready.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I agree.
So when they say action, man, it's like I'm always on my mark. I'm you know, the stage hands don't never, stage people don't never have to come and get me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm, because I like watching anyway. When I'm on, I like watching other actors work. So a lot of times I spend very little time in my dressing room.
Okay.
I'm always on set watching and seeing, you know, how the scene's going and watching other actors work, man, learning all I could learn.
Yeah, it helps for sure. And I know that you've had a lot to do with the creation of Brumman, right?
Yeah.
Even the yeah. name, because originally it was Brotherman, right?
It was Brotherman,
so
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, the audition process, and then after that, when you booked it, how you created this game.
Yeah, man, I came in. Eileen McKnight, she brought me in, man, and she said, okay, let's see what you got. I went in, and I did it, and it was Brotherman, and so I did it one way, man. I did it straight up, and she said, can you do something different? So I went back to them Texas roots, man, how we talk and how we act sometimes in Texas. You know, Texas slink. You know, we drag stuff out.
Uh-huh.
It's like, hey, man, if it don't get done today, you know, people say it don't get done, get done tomorrow. Texas say, hey, man, if it don't get done today, get done tomorrow. And so I put some of that in it, man. And some of my sister, that's how she used to talk, like, stop, boy, huh? You know? So I put a little of that in it, man, and she said, okay, that's cool. So, I mean, she took me over that day, man. She took me over to Martin, you know. And that was unusual for an audition.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know, you get called back.
Right, right.
So she said, let's go across the street. Went across the street. And Martin and the rest of the producers, man, you know, Benny Richburg and all them sitting there with their hat to the side. Kenny Buford, all that, you know. You know what I mean? Bentley Evan, they all sit with their hat to the side.
Yeah.
And I did it, man. I did when I did the fifth flow joint, man. They were like, and that wasn't even in the script, man.
Yeah.
They were like rolling, dude.
Wow.
And I got the part that day. They came and told me, say, you got the part, and told the other actor, you know, we'll put you in something else, you know. And that's the first time, the only time I think I ever got hired on the spot.
On the spot. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. They loved it. And then we did, and a lot of stuff we did on the show, like after that, you know, we made up. Like, when I got up and walked, the first episode, when I did the walk, you know, I got, Martin said, get out of my chair, man. I got up, And I'm straight out of, you know, theater, man. Uh-huh. So I'm like, you know, stay in your light, stay in your
right,
light.
Right.
Make sure you be seen. So yeah. I'm in the camera, even though they got all these cameras, I'm trying to stay in the camera, right? So I'm walking slow, man. That's why I was walking slow. I want my mama to see me. I ain't want to walk out of the shot.
Yeah.
And Tashina was like, yo, you see the way he's walking? Man, that walk was funny. And that stayed with us, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was walking out the door one day. Martin said, you know what would be funny? Turn and go out the window. So I'm like, turn the window. Man, so we made a lot of things up as we went along, man.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Tell me one of the craziest moments on set. Because, I mean, between you and Tisha, Martin, and Tashina, like, it was just...
Oh, man. The episode that I had to take my clothes off when I had the shower.
Oh, man.
I was so embarrassed,
That's an iconic scene, man.
I took the clothes. I was so embarrassed. Martin said, man, what you embarrassed for? Man, you already got a wife, man. Don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. I said, yeah. Hey. I want everybody to be seeing I ain't in shape, man. I ain't in shape. We laughed. The audience was laughing.
Yeah, I'm sure, bro. That's crazy.
Then they had me with these tight, like shorts on. Yeah. I mean, you know, man. So it's pressing everything down there. So it looked like looked like I had a camel toe.
Yeah, what do they call it? Moose knuckles.
Yeah, exactly, man. So I'm like, God, no.
I want to give us one of your favorite lines as Brumman that you did on the show.
Oh man, you know, I think the most favorite line is when I said, "You ain't got no toilet paper. You ain't checked the note I left for you up under your bathroom sink." That was it. That was the
like,
one.
Why would
right
I look
there.
Under my bed?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's dope.
I like that one. That was one of my funniest episodes, man.
Wow. Yeah. I want to take this time also to thank you again for joining us. And thank everybody for viewing. And also thank you to Black Hollywood Live and AfterBuzz TV for allowing us to be here. Shout out to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. Folks, if you love what you see and you want to keep seeing, go ahead and give us some thumbs up. Go subscribe to the channel and watch us. We're continuing our interview here with Reggie Ballard. And so I want to ask you, if there's one person you could work with, you haven't had a chance to work with, who would that be?
I say De Niro, man.
Yeah.
As far as an actor-wise, and Spike.
Spike Lee, yeah,
director.
Yeah.
You know, I love Spike movies, man. I mean, I just love the colors and the, you know. I mean, when I first got my union card, my SAG card, man, Do the Right Thing was out, and I was on the set, and I was supposed to be. A lot of people know this. I was supposed to be a stand-in for Tommy Ford. I didn't even know Tommy at the time.
Okay.
Tommy didn't show up.
Okay.
He was doing Harlem Nights. It's a movie called I Love You to Death with River Phoenix, Kevin Kline, Tracy Ullman. And so they had me standing. I was supposed to be standing in the scene with River Phoenix and just standing there until Tommy get there, you know. And Tommy didn't show up. So when he didn't show up, man, I say, shoot, I'm going to start talking. I say, the only thing they could do is tell me to shut up and go home. They can't put their hands on me, you know. So I started doing it, man, and Lawrence Kasdan gave me a contract.
Wow.
And that's how I got my union card. I was happy because I was happy that all that day, it was that Friday, because Do the Right Thing was out.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, me and my wife going to see Do the Right Thing, because every time Spike movies come out, I want to go see them. We say, man, Do the Right Thing's coming out. Do the Right Thing coming out. So, man, I got my union card and the movie that night. Man, that was one of the most happiest times in my life right there, man. Yes, sir.
Wow.
So I love to work with Spike one day, man.
Yeah, that would be dope. You see Black Klansman, and what'd you think of that?
Yes, indeed, man. I loved it. Man, Denzel's son sound just like him in the movie, man. You close your eyes like, man, Denzel doing a good job.
Right. That's true.
He had to change his accent or something.
That's so true. So you're doing a lot of stand up in LA right now, right?
Well, I'm all over the country.
All over the country touring.
Yeah,
right?
I'm usually on the road almost every weekend. I very seldom do stuff out here.
Okay, so yeah. you're touring.
Yeah, I'm in Dover, Delaware this weekend.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's dope. So how is that going for you? Like, what type of themes do you normally do, or is it just you switch it up every time? Or
yeah, sometimes, man. You know, I talk about wife and kids and what's happening now, man. Mm-hmm. You know, a little sexual type stuff and you know, off the type things, right. Man, improv, and I mix it up, man. It's just, I call it miscellaneous silliness.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not one of them conscious comics, you know right. what I mean? Yeah, no.
Keep the audience on their feet.
Yeah, laugh. I bring the audience into the show sometimes, nice. Man. You know, I mess with the audience a little bit, you know. But it's all in a fun way. I never, you know, put nobody down, man.
Right.
Yeah, I don't talk like that.
You don't do that, okay.
No. But I get a little raw, though. And it's funny, because my friends never heard me curse off stage.
Oh, really?
They never, my friends in high school, they came to see me, you know, but I told them I'm an actor acting like a Def Jam comic.
Yeah.
So when they come see me, they laughing. Just because I'm using bad words.
He's like, man, you funny, it, man. Right?
Yeah, I said, right.
How you say it all counts.
It's like you've been cussing all your life, man, the way you do it. But they never hit me off stage. You know? I don't do it off stage. So I'm reverse of Bill Cosby. They say Bill Cosby was clean on stage, but off stage,
he was like a sailor. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that... speaking of like Bill Cosby and some of the older cats in the game, who did you look up to when you were getting into this business?
Oh man, you know, as far as comedian wise, yeah. Man, Richard Pryor, man.
Yeah,
I used to love Richard Pryor. You know, and I never would imagine being a comedian. You know, but my friends that I grew up with, they were the ones that were funny. They were very funny, you know. But, man, I used to always listen to Richard Pryor, man, Dolemites, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
man. And then, you know, a little older when Eddie Murphy came out, right. Man, that was like, Eddie took it to a whole nother level, man, because this dude, I mean, like now, when you watch Eddie movies, man, I mean, you know, I know what he's doing. I know what he's doing because, you know, I feel the innuendos and emotions and the, you know, the expressions right. that he does, that he don't even really have to say nothing.
Right.
You
right.
know, and that's what I try to do with Bruh Man. I try to do the expression and stuff that, you know, Bruh Man didn't say nothing, but you could laugh just on the movement alone. Eddie got it mastered, man.
Yeah.
Eddie, like, you know, I watched Eddie, me and my daughter the day before I came here.
Uh-huh.
We was watching I Spy. When he got in the ring and said, I'm going to hit you with my left hand, all right? Uh-huh. Like, man, you hit me out hard in my arms for it, man. You're going to give people a little taste. It's just the way he,
yes,
you know, a lot of people can't do that.
No.
Man. Like, you know, and, you know, people take it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is serious, you know, thought mm-hmm. into that, man.
For
it
sure.
ain't it ain't just you winging it,
right.
You know, this serious thought.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, man.
And so, Coming to America 2 is coming out next
year. Yeah,
man. Excited
can't
to
wait,
see
man.
That.
Can't wait,
that's
man.
Gonna be that's can't gonna be wait. Fun. You have, yeah. Maybe have a little cameo in there.
Yeah, I wish. Call me, man.
Right. call yeah, man.
Exactly.
So I want to go into a couple like questions for you, just fun questions, kind of see what answers you give. So first, what's your favorite word?
My favorite word. Favorite word is no.
Favorite
that's
word
my
is
favorite
no.
Word, no.
That's
for coming from me, but not coming from somebody.
That's
favorite
a favorite word
I like
say.
To use.
Yeah, you like to use.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite word?
Shut up. You know, I hate somebody telling me to shut up, man. When I'm talking, you know, shut up. My wife got that bad. You know, shut up. That's just how I'm stopping my
like
track,
that
man.
Face right there. Yeah, that was real.
Yeah, that's it.
What's something that turns you on, that gets you happy, gets you feeling good?
Man, to see my family and my friends happy, man. Seeing that if I can share something with them, you know, if I have something that like taking trips, you know, if I could bring them with me,
mm-hmm.
that makes me happy, man. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy. You know, seeing my friends and my family happy.
Nice.
I don't like seeing them, you know, down if they don't have anything. And especially if I have something, right. You know, they're going to have too.
Right.
You know, so that makes me happy, man. I mean, I wouldn't want to have billions of dollars and see my boys and them, you know, and my family struggling. And them struggling, right. Man. Yeah.
So you mentioned you have a daughter. You have just how many kids?
Daughter, my daughter's 23, just graduated from Loyola Marymount, and nice. My son is 27.
Are they?
He's got the Marines.
Are they? Oh, they're the Marines. Okay, yeah. So they're not going into the entertainment industry at all, or
man,
interested?
My daughter, she off into the music thing in one way because she want to be like an A&R type thing. You know,
gotcha.
She like finding talent. Because she's real good at that, man. Now my son is a jazz pianist.
Mm.
He think he's the next McCoy Tyner of Duke Ellington, man.
Right,
you know,
right.
he like real jazz.
Oh, wow.
You know, one day I told no disrespect, but one day I told him I was on the plane, man, and Kenny G was on the plane in the front seat.
Nice.
And I called him about 2 a.m. L.A. time. So I called him. I said, yo, man. He said, yo, what? He woke up. I said, guess who on the plane? He said, who? I said, Kenny G. He said, yeah, tell him to listen to Park and Coach.
Dang.
Yeah, I know. Tell him to listen to Park and Coach. And I hung up the phone.
It's like, all right, dear.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to be, yeah, I'm big. I like Kenny G. Kenny G.
Yeah.
What's a sound or noise that you love?
Sound or noise?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, me and my wife go to sleep to thunderstorm sound.
Yeah, right? Me too. I mean, Texas.
That's right. We love the thunderstorm,
love
man.
Thunderstorm.
Every night, man, before we go to bed, she's like, Alexa.
Right.
Play thunderstorm sound.
Yeah. Same
that's
thing.
Us, man. That's what we do. That's how we go to sleep.
What's a sound or noise that you absolutely hate?
Oh, man, probably... who is this? I can't even think of her name, man. It's
a person.
Actress. Yeah. You know, I you know what? Tell you the truth, man. I can't stand Donald Trump voice.
Mm.
Oh man!
Yeah.
Every time I hear him, dude, I just want to just grab through the TV.
Right.
Man. You know that annoys me,
yeah,
man.
That annoying
the lying, dude.
Yeah.
The lies.
Yeah.
That's worse. That's the worst for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that one. So what is the profession other than your own, what you're doing now, would you love to participate in?
Man, I wish I was a professional golfer.
Mm.
Golfers make a lot
really?
Of money. And they travel, man. They play some of the best places, man. I mean, I play golf a lot. And, man, we love it, man. Me and my boys, man, you know, we call it Hackerish. We got a group called Hackerish. Then we got a group called Golf Beef. Red
nice.
Grant, you know, and Percy. You know, Big Percy, man. It's Snoop Dogg boy.
No,
you know, yeah,
yeah,
we always out there, man. Yeah.
Yeah,
so, man, we be getting
they say the
in.
Best deals are made on the golf course, right?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, you know, we take it serious,
yeah.
Man. It's bragging rights out there, man. Bragging
you
rights.
You ain't never see Trump out there, huh?
Nah, man. I ain't gonna play his golf course either.
Right. Stay far away from there.
Yeah.
What profession would you not participate in?
But I'm not probably politics, man.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to be dirty, man. Mm. You got to be dirty and not have a heart. You got to be like a pimp. You got to be cold-hearted, dude, to be
right.
A politician, dude. You can't care about nothing or nobody. That's the same. They just like pimps, man.
Yeah,
pimps and hustlers, dude. That's what
true.
They are, man.
That's
I wouldn't want to deal. I mean, I got a heart, man. I can't, you know, and sometimes that could be... disadvantage,
right.
You know, because,
right.
You know, I tell everybody, man, I say, if you want to know the American way, look at the Godfather, 1, 2, and 3.
Mm.
Crooks are crooked. You know, the gangsters crooked, the politician crooked,
yeah.
And the church, the Vatican Church, all crooked. No heart, man.
It's,
you know
it's
what I'm
true.
Saying?
It's sad, but true.
That's it, man. That's it.
It's sad,
know,
but
Vatican
true.
Vatican Church, the one was trying to con Michael Corleone out the money. And Michael Corleone said, every time I try to get out, they keep pulling me back in.
Yeah.
That was the church. He killed everybody, the Pope included.
Right? Speaking of the Pope, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you?
man, I like him to say, I'm sending you back to your childhood, all the good times in your childhood, growing up on 3706 Avenue L, Galveston, Texas.
Okay.
That was heaven, man.
Yeah, wow.
That was heaven to me, man. I mean,
wow.
You know, we didn't have much money, but, dude, I mean, that was the best time in my life.
Wow.
Man, being a kid, grandmother, my mother, mm-hmm. all my uncles and aunts, we all in one house, man, eating, having fun, you know, Friday and Saturday music, yeah. dancing.
Yeah.
And, man, that was, you know, that's, you know, I forget you could have the streets of gold. You know, it put me back there, man, you okay. know, when it's the happy times, you know.
Right. Wow.
That's
dope. That's, yeah. That's the first time I've had that type of response.
No, really?
I, yeah, I appreciate that's it, that. Man. That's dope. It. Love that's that. It. Authentic. Man.
Didn't have, we wasn't rich, but to me, I had everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay, well, we're going to be closing up our interview shortly, but I do want to ask you about the difference of Hollywood from when you started to now. I mean, obviously, we had a pretty big explosion of diversity with mm-hmm. Wakanda and
right.
so on and so forth. Us, Jordan Peele taking it, like, it's just so many right. things happening right now. Give us a little bit of your perspective on things.
Man, you know, when I first came in, you know, that was in, like I say, 89.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had to have chops. You had to, you know, work and you know, audition and let the people see that you had a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just get a YouTube channel and do skits and get likes.
Yeah.
And they put you in front of the camera, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though it might flop, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, you know, yeah, exactly. So that's the difference, I think, now. Even with comedians,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see them on YouTube or you see them on Instagram, and these new school cats, you know, they haven't been out there a long time. And so when they go and perform, you know, they don't have the time. You know, some of them may have 20 minutes, you mm-hmm. know, and people paying $75 to come see you do 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's manufactured now. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, anybody that could get put a YouTube channel together and do skits, they automatically think that that's talent.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
Wow. and any last words you'd like to give, especially to our comedians who are watching? Fellow actors, how to keep going in the process and just give it all they got.
Yeah, man, it's just like if this is something that you want to do, you know, just keep working at it. I mean, you know, be prepared, man, because mm-hmm. the opportunity comes and you're not prepared, mm-hmm. then, you know, they don't call you back in the room again.
Right,
you
right.
know what I mean? So right. be prepared, you know, take classes and study or just don't give up, though.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up, man. Never give up. I don't care if you don't get a part. You know, one thing you have to have in this game is thick skin. Mm-hmm. If you don't have yeah. thick skin, man, if rejection, you know, hurt your feelings, mm-hmm. then you won't make it out
right.
here.
Right.
You won't make it out here, man. See, I'm like addicted to the. Like, yeah, tell me no.
Tell
you know,
me, yeah.
I'm coming back.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
yeah, you know, sometimes you might not get the part, but it might not because you wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You just might not have been the type.
Right. Right.
So that's how I look at it. If that's I don't true. Get up, I wasn't the type, man. I was like, you know, I was too dark. Or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, too dark.
Yeah, yeah. See, sometimes a couple of times I blew some.
Yeah,
you know, but you know, just stick with it, man. Be persistent.
I hear you.
Stick with it, you know, because if you quit, one thing you know for sure that it ain't gonna never happen.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the one thing you know for sure.
Exactly. 100. Ain't gonna knock on your door and say, "Look, we want you to play alongside Robert De Niro today." You say, "Man, I've been out the game for 5 years. Thank you."
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
thank you for that. Yeah, thank you for thank that. You. Then, we're going to wrap up our interview. Thank you so much for joining us,
man,
today.
Thank you, man.
Man,
thank
it's you. Been a pleasure having you inside the studio.
Appreciate
Go ahead and tell everybody where to find you, where to keep up with what you're doing, and if you're doing anything right now?
Yeah, Reginald Ballard on Facebook and Bruhman _ Fifth Floor. Number 5 and FLO on Instagram and Twitter. I hardly ever go on Twitter. But nice. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And everybody, you can find me at I Am Danny Royce everywhere. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week, same place, same time, here inside the Black Actors Studio. Bye, guys.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.